Epilogue here. Did you like you did over? We liked the Rumble better than 09. Did you like the show overall better than 09?
Show better than
09. I did too.
The company was in a better place. Interestingly, here's another thing too. We keep talking about this. Guys who are runner up in the Rumble and yet they still get their WrestleMania moment with John Cena. The only thing that's unusual is, or actually, he wins the title and then quickly loses it at the Elimination Chamber.
Yes.
So John Cena once again fitting that pattern. He is wrestling for the Raw Championship at WrestleMania.
Yes, and another thing that we need to keep an eye on as we move to the next couple years.
Yeah.
This is another example with Edge. And they can do this in the brand split era. The guy that wins the Rumble, not featured in the money match at WrestleMania.
Yeah.
In this case, this to me was the biggest indictment of having two titles.
Mm-hmm.
You had two matches, not just one, at WrestleMania 26.
Yeah.
That were bigger than either title match. Shawn, Taker 2, and Bret Vince. Those were the two big money matches, no matter what you want to say. I know Cena, Batista, those guys are two big stars.
Yeah.
Bret Vince, though, was promoted above that. And it's funny, if they would have kept Triple H, Sheamus as the title match, as originally they had on the books, would Cena, Batista, as a non-title match, have been bigger than both title matches as well?
Well, very possibly, but that to me it was more reminiscent of the WrestleMania in 2003 of where they did it, where it was more so parody among the four.
We're going to talk about that in a second because I want to get to the road to WrestleMania.
And I think both these title matches were bigger than the two of the previous year because Cena Show Edge is one of the biggest joke title matches in WrestleMania history.
Yeah. All right. You made me lose. Oh, so Edge not being in the money match. This had become a disturbing trend. Maybe disturbing is too harsh a word. But to me, when we're watching these and the guy who wins the Rumble is then in the big money match at WrestleMania.
Yeah.
That's just the way it should be. I know that word should can be a dangerous word.
Wait till we get to the next year.
Yeah, I know, that's what I'm
saying.
When the
prize for winning a 40-man Royal Rumble is to jerk the curtain.
That's why we're calling it decline of the Rumble when we start to get to that part.
Yes.
But anyway. So, Mysterio was not in the final match when he won at 06.
Right.
Believe it or not, Taker, when he won the Rumble in 07, was not in the final match.
That's right. Follow that.
08, Cena was not in the final match.
That's right.
Orton was. So this is the fourth time in 5 years you had a Rumble winner not in the final match at Mania.
Yeah.
And I'll just a little bit of foreshadowing, it winds up being 6 out of 7.
Yeah.
Which,
and the funny thing is, too, the only guy that was the exception to the rule in that stretch, Orton in 09, much like...
They fumbled him.
Much
they
like
fumbled him.
Jericho in 02, shouldn't have been. What's the common denominator? Both wrestling Triple H. Shouldn't have been the last match either time.
Yeah.
Shouldn't have been.
Yeah. Let's talk about this road to WrestleMania.
Okay.
I teased this a little bit earlier. Despite the fact creative was a lot better than the previous year, WrestleMania 26 did disappointing business. It was the lowest bought Mania since 19, which is considered a disaster internally in the company. You referenced WrestleMania 19 with the parody booking, which is interesting. And
I think the public may have picked up on that in a subliminal way.
Of the WrestleManias in the 20s, 20 through 29, only... I think this is the worst part. Like, did this even do lower than 22? Let me check on that, if this did lower than 22. I know it did lower than all the other ones. Let me see if it did lower than 22.
Yeah, 19 is sort of the modern gold standard for something being disappointing and underachieving in the mind of the company.
Hold on before I make
and,
a point here.
All right, well, I'm just stalling and rambling while you look that up. But this is
2006, WrestleMania 22, that did 930,000 buys. Yeah, 2010 did 885. So this is of the WrestleManias 20 through 29, because after 30, the business model changes dramatically, obviously, with the network. This is the fewest buys WrestleMania did. Why do you think that? Well, because the creative was stronger than the previous year. And if you read Meltzer and Alvarez during this time, they were like, oh, this WrestleMania will kill last year's. They thought, and they had a point, considering what 25 did, that the WrestleMania name was Teflon. In that...
Yeah, not so much.
Why was it, do you think? Because the creative, don't you agree? The creative was better for WrestleMania 26 than 25.
It was, but how much of that is...
I know,
just...
now the parody booking that you made was a great point, because although Michaels Taker was definitely the money match,
yeah,
and you had Brett Vince...
Those four, it seemed to me, were all portrayed on about the same level.
I feel that you always sort of need one money match, not four portrayed as even.
That's one of the takeaways. Here, well, let's look at common denominators of that and 2003 with
WrestleMania. The creative for Brett and Vince, diminishing returns. It kept getting suckier and suckier going up.
That was
with
awful.
The whole car thing.
They
should have just had, in retrospect, they should have held off Brett coming back on the TV.
Yeah.
Because the crowd definitely wanted to see it right away, Brett versus Vince,
they did
the initial
angle. They
had to
win the Monday Night Wars Part 2.
That's right, because in a forgotten footnote in wrestling history, they brought Brett back that night to counteract Hulk Hogan and Eric Bischoff's debut on TNA.
Also, Ric Flair.
Didn't do nothing.
Yeah, Flair came out. There was a number of them. I think Sting returned.
Although I think TNA actually did
RVD
do a good number.
RVD was debuting.
Yeah, TNA did do a good number that night, but it didn't last.
No, not at all.
In retrospect, WWE should just let TNA have their night, which of course they weren't going to do, and brought Brett back closer. Done the angle with Vince kicking him in the balls to get the heat, and then just show wrestling with shadows, and that's it.
Here's the thing, is that there are two very strong common denominators of WrestleMania 26 and WrestleMania 19. We touched on one of them. One
they were
is
both outdoors, out west.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, but I substantively with the booking, one is parody booking of I feel like four matches being held up as more or less important, although in WrestleMania 19, interestingly, and this is rare when Triple H is involved, it's clear that Triple H with the Raw title against Booker T was fourth out of four. But there was basically a tier cutoff of the two world title matches and then the two special attraction matches.
There was actually five. Michaels Jericho was definitely bigger than the rest of the card.
I still draw the line underneath that.
I don't. Michael, not. No, the line's underneath Michaels Jericho.
I don't think so.
That was treated as a main event match.
You think the public perception was that was...
I
respectfully disagree, but here's the thing, though. So it's parody booking.
I mean, it's the time you'd expect for a main event match.
Yeah, but it's none of these matches having the singular focus as this is the main event. But here's the other thing, and you've commented on this before, and I can't believe you're missing this. You have commented on
maybe
this.
Maybe I'm just letting you
repeatedly.
Make the point.
No, you're not playing dumb. You legitimately don't remember this.
What, that Vince McMahon is an overrated draw as a wrestler?
Exactly. Vince McMahon versus Hulk Hogan in 2003 versus Bret Hart in 2010. It doesn't matter how heated the perceived feud.
Vince Hogan.
Shawn Vince in 2006, another one of the ones that was a little lower.
Dude, Brett Vince is one of the most unique dynamics in wrestling history. Very disappointing that did not do better. And look, the match sucked. We all know that.
Yeah.
That the match, but when you buy a pay-per-view... You don't know the match is going to suck.
And Brett is a repeated guest on the show, and I hope this doesn't rule out any subsequent appearances from him. But as much as I would like it to be otherwise, Hulk Hogan, historically bigger star than Bret Hart. So Hulk Hogan v. Vince McMahon.
Yeah, but Hulk Hogan...
Who created rock and wrestling in the 80s?
Yeah, but nobody gave a shit about that.
Really?
Hulk Hogan had been on TV for a year, and to the law of diminishing returns, he came back and was so hot. They made the mistake of putting the title on him, and no one his motorcycle stopped. You know, the motorcycle stopped working as a metaphor for that angle.
One of the great WrestleCraft segments ever.
And people stopped caring about Hogan as that went on. Bret Hart, after in 12? Because he left in November 97, comes back January 2010. More than 12 years off WWE TV, excluding his Hall of Fame appearance. Recreating to revisit the Montreal Screwjob, one of the two or three most famous matches in company history.
Well,
that should have done business, and I'm going to tell you why it didn't, and they had no control over it.
You're gonna miss the mark. I know what the reason is. Let's hear the reason wasn't. You go ahead and tell me.
No, you say it because you're wrong. But okay. I'll say this. The creative was bad, but there was a factor out of their control because creative's obviously
maybe
in their control.
Maybe we are going to talk about the same thing, and that being the fact that Bret Hart had a stroke.
No, okay, that, we're not going to talk about that.
Come on, dude.
Okay, no.
Come
on. But that didn't hurt the draw. That hurt the match.
These days, everybody, to whatever extent, are smart fans. And you know Bret Hart can't get hit in the head.
Dude, no, that didn't matter.
Come on.
No. That did not play a role in
this. Your tote's missing the mark here.
No. Do you know what killed this
pay-per-view? A healthy Bret Hart would have drawn better.
No. It wouldn't have.
What was out of their control?
People don't know that the match is going to suck when they buy it. People, the match quality is very overrated for drawing.
They know that a guy that suffered a stroke that medically can't get punched in the head is not going to give you a
good
match.
Do you think, like, your average spamool thinks that?
Yeah. Everybody knows about Bret Hart's health issues.
They didn't.
Come on.
The reason that this show did not draw as well was the UFC, which I brought up the previous year. There was a UFC pay-per-view the previous night with George St. Pierre.
All right.
Who is a much bigger star than Bret Hart was in Canada this time. I did some investigating, and if you can look at it because Survivor Series.
Are you telling me Canadian buys were the make or break for WrestleMania 26?
They were counting on it, and that showed a huge business in Canada with St. Pierre on top, as all George St. Pierre pay-per-views did. You look at Survivor Series 09, remember Vince?
I voted in the Pantheon, by the way, for best MMA athlete ever. So
Vince McMahon, it never happened, but. There was a couple months where he decided he was going to pull the plug on the Survivor Series name, thought it didn't draw anymore.
Yeah.
The reason 09 sucked is there was a UFC pay-per-view the night before that. This was, and I remember I brought it up, and I'm so glad I did because it was just a random aside.
I'll agree
at the time,
that didn't help.
The UFC was killing the WWE pay-per-view, and Vince did not want to admit that.
Okay.
I know that.
I'll be less stubborn than you. I'll admit that didn't help, but you got to admit that Bret Hart being a recovering stroke patient. But
people don't. That obviously killed the match, like the actual.
How could it not have killed the interest? These two guys hate each other. They're going to kill each other. Oh, except that the one guy can't get punched in the head.
You can't sell a blood feud
on a guy that can't get punched in the head. You can't do it.
I don't think that played a big role.
The hook is how much they hate each other.
I don't think that played that big of a role. I think it definitely hurt the match. I mean, it made the match suck really bad. But I don't think that made people less interested in the feud. I really think, because all indications leading up to this show, like the weeks before the show,
okay,
were that they were going to do good business, and they completely underestimated the impact that the UFC had
the night before.
Now, people will point out that there was a time when there was WCW and WWF pay-per-views in the same month and both could do good business.
Right.
2010, you're in a recession?
Right.
Same weekend? Yeah. People are going to choose one or the other, and they chose the UFC. UFC hurt this show.
I'm less stubborn than you. I'll admit that your point has validity. You won't admit mine.
I'm admitting that it made the match crappy, but I don't think people...
The interest in a blood feud where one guy can't get punched in the head.
I don't think people were like...
And people know he can't get punched in the head.
Do you think everyone knew that?
I think so.
A lot of people knew it, but those people were the people who probably bought the show anyway. I think the people who didn't buy the show weren't thinking that.
Yeah, I don't know. Well, here's the thing. Let's bring this around on an amusing note.
Well, when we say, hold on, I want to say this.
Okay.
When we talk about disappointing business compared to the previous year, the difference was less than 100,000. To me, that's not a Bret Hart difference. That to me is all UFC because that's 85,000 people or 75,000 people that bought a pay per view the previous night that aren't going to buy a pay per view two nights in a row. 70, like, if it was, I'll say this.
I think you're reaching by trying to quantify it exactly.
If this show had done, like, 600,000,
yeah,
then I would be more inclined to agree with you. I really, when you're looking at a difference of 75,000, which is significant, but it's not like 2003, which only did 560,000 buys, which is like 300,000 down.
But you're underestimating the number of people because it should have done much better than WrestleMania 25 based on quality.
But it didn't because of the UFC.
But you're just talking about what it
If the UFC pay-per-view had not occurred the night before, this show would have done the same business as 2009.
That would have not been good because it should have done better. It was a better card.
It might have done better. It should have done better.
The standard shouldn't be matching 09. The standard should have been
okay. I'll
09.
Say this. I'll say this. If the UFC pay per view had not taken place the previous night,
okay,
this show would have done better than 2009.
All right. Well, I've conceded on your point. You don't concede on mine, so that's okay. I mean, we're just arguing the same thing.
How many buys did that? Let me look how many buys that UFC.
Okay.
Although they don't publicly release all their buys, but let me get a good UFC buy rate. April.
While you're doing that, I'm gonna tease what the last thing is going to be here for us to discuss, and that is my alternative Vince Russo-esque theory of how HBK Taker should have been promoted.
Can I say this?
What should have gone
in? You talk about a storyline that maybe the crowd didn't buy. You want to talk about strokes?
Yeah.
Second time in 3 years they went with the big hook as a retirement storyline because Flair had reneged on it, not on their watch,
right,
but on a different. Do you think that the crowd, who had been conditioned all through all these years not to accept retirement storylines, Mick Foley, Ric Flair, was like, yeah, he'll probably wrestle again soon anyway. And it's kind of ironic because Shawn Michaels is the one guy who stuck to it.
No, I don't. Matter of fact, here's the thing. The fact, because for the bulk of people that watch WWE, that's the only thing that really matters to them. If anything, if they knew Flair showed up in TNA, that would add more validity to it. Like, oh, he had to go to this minor league jabron place because they enforced the storyline. He can't come back and wrestle in the big time anymore.
Oh, I disagree with that.
I think you're wrong. I think that adds more validity. Oh, he's off doing this other crap, but this just proves he's retired in the big time for good. I think that's how those people would look at it. I think you got it backwards. You got it totally backwards.
No, I think Flair.
You don't realize, but you have it totally backwards.
No, Flair hurt the stip by working elsewhere.
In a minor league thing that nobody cares about? No way.
I think it did hurt it.
The stipulation, for all intents and purposes, only refers to that company because that's the only place that it's legally binding. Legally binding as long as the company wants to make it such. But no. The fact that he had to go down to the minor league jabroni place, that to me, that adds more legitimacy. I guess he's never coming back and wrestling in the big leagues anymore. He's off having a scuffle in this other place now. I think you're wrong on that.
I think you're wrong.
Do you have a buy rate thing here?
GSP versus Hardy.
Yeah.
770,000 buys. That's a lot of pay-per-view business in a weekend.
That is.
That's over 1.5 million people bought pay-per-views that weekend. So it's funny, WrestleMania actually beat that UFC pay-per-view.
Right.
But 770 is a big number.
Well, I would go so far, you know.
Let me tell you how big GSP was. The month before, the UFC had two shows. UFC 109, Couture versus Coleman, 275. UFC 110, Nogueira versus Velasquez, 240. The GSP show beat the previous two shows combined.
So far as to say that they cannibalized each other. You're talking about the effect on WrestleMania's business. What about the effect on UFC's business?
Oh, there probably was.
They cannibalized each other. So that's all right.
But WrestleMania, you cannot argue that WrestleMania would not have done a better number without a UFC pay-per-view doing 770,000 buys.
I've conceded your factor. You don't concede my factor. Okay, we agree to disagree on my factor for it. Full circle here for the WrestleMania card that this Royal Rumble was building up to. If Vince McMahon was promoting.
Vince Russo.
If he was promoting this, if he got made guest booker for the HBK Taker thing, he would say, you're leaving money on the table, bro. You know what it needs to be about, bro? It needs to be about real life, bro. These things, they have to be based on the stuff that was happening in real life backstage, bro. You know what I make it about, bro? I make it about the click. And the Bone Street Crew, bro. That's what I make it about. I talk about the Taker and the Bone Street Crew. And I bring out Paul Bearer, and I bring out the Samoans and all of them. And I talk about the real-life stuff that was happening backstage, bro. That's what Vince Russo would have done with it. That's how he would have promoted Taker HBK.
God, he didn't.
Your thoughts, Kyle.
Thank God he didn't. I thought the creative was really good leading into WrestleMania 26.
Here's the thing.
I actually like WrestleMania 26 quite a bit.
It's one of the only ones that I haven't seen, and I'm going to be you know,
you've never seen the show?
No, because that was at a time when they held it on the same day, unfortunately, as the a-holes running my baseball draft. So I missed it. This was before watching it on the computer, so it was an either-or kind of a thing. I haven't watched it. Spoiler alert, you and I are putting something together, another look at WrestleMania. It's not like what we did before, but another type of thing. It's not going to, our history of WrestleMania thing is as involved as we're ever going to get with that stuff. We've already done that, but we're doing another kind of revisiting. I'm going through rewatching. When I get to that one, I'll be interested to see. Here's the thing. You're making a persuasive point to me. I remember at the time not being as enamored with creative. I'm going to go back to something we said earlier. Remember the thing about Jericho and Big Show going into the WWF in 99? It was better than it was in WCW, but we thought it could have been even better. I think I looked at it the same way. Like, well, it's better than that, you know, complete pile of shiznit that was 09, but I wanted it to be even better than that. I think, like, my standard was being better than 09 wasn't good enough. That's how I looked at it, I guess. I wasn't satisfied with that. But you're making a point that it was better than I remember it being at the time. I'll be interested to rewatch WrestleMania 26.
I think you'll find it was better. I really enjoyed it. I think it's not a top 10 Mania, but it's certainly top 15.
And that's the thing too. WrestleMania sometimes can be a good distraction from the ills of the world, so to speak. Here, so you know that can affect how we view these things. I'll be interested with the eyes of history later on to see what I think of it. So
up next, though. Oof, I think the Royal Rumble as a pay-per-view, mm-hmm. maybe not necessarily the Rumble match itself, begins to take a nosedive with our next couple years.
It does. It does. Although, by the way, too, last note, I should have mentioned this. Why am I mentioning this all the way at the end? But they had mentioned, this is another one of these ones like they did a couple of years earlier, most star-studded Royal Rumble ever. 2010 was most definitely not that.
You know, somebody recently did a statistical analysis of that.
Mm-hmm.
I read that. And you'd be surprised that, like, because I remember there was one you criticized. You're like, this isn't the most star-studded Rumble ever.
Yeah.
And it wound up being kind of star-studded. I forgot what they used. I'll have to find
it. It was
again.
Either 07 or 08 when
I
they
said it. I
think
it was,
previously.
And they were like, I forgot what metric they used. I'll have to look that up somehow.
Well, you're not going to put any of them above Saint 1992, are you?
No.
Okay, well.
Absolutely not.
So it's not the
I mean, again, you know, there's flaws in every,
yeah.
in different metrics, but I don't know. He
and
used
0-2. I mean, 0-2 is always going to be a real hard one to beat. So, but anyways, yeah, I thought it was ridiculous in 2010. They won't be able to say that about 2011, even though it's the only one ever to this point in time to have 40 men in it. So I'll be very interested to see what you think. I've watched it, and again, I have some very strong thoughts on 2011. We'll get to that when we reconvene to discuss our continuing history at the Royal Rumble. Thank you for listening, everybody.
As we bring the show to a close, we would like to extend our deepest gratitude to NBC, CBS, ABC, Fox, all Clear Channel affiliates, TNT, TBS, USA, UPN, Deadspin.com, YouTube.com, YTMND.com, MySpace.com, various blogs, Fox News, CNN, CNBC, MSNBC, IamBored.com, Billboard.com, Google.com, ESPN, ESPN2, ESPN News, ESPN Classic, NBA TV, NFL Network, Sports Time Ohio, Athlon Magazine, Comedy Central, Cartoon Network, The Boomerang Channel, QVC, BET, The Spice Channel, Steno Notebooks, Manwich, Papermate Office Supplies, Waitresses, Strippers, Bartenders, Garbage Men, Janitors, Microwave Popcorn, The Writers of The Office, Scrubs, Entourage, My Name is Earl, Oz, Metalocalypse and the Boondocks, Awkwafina, and The Periodic Table of Elements.